All right, it's 6 o'clock. We're back in our regular session to discuss the budget hearing. And we'd like to turn the meeting over to Carrie Carter to discuss the budget.
Okay, what in this blue packet, if you'll turn to the first page, it actually contains both the final budget revision for the 2023-24 year, and it contains the original budget for the 24-25 fiscal year that you'll approve. So what I'm going to address first is the final budget revision for the 23-24 school year. And you'll notice the third column over, it'll say final budget FY 2024. That's the column I'm going to be addressing first. That's our final budget. So if you look on, it says page 2 at the bottom. It's the first page. This is the general fund. The local revenue, there's not, between the budget revision that was approved in March and this one, there was not very much change at all, just minor revisions. So I will just point out a few of the bigger changes that were made. But other than that, the changes were just very minor revisions to clean up the revenues and expenses to get them to the year end. So you've got your total local revenue. It went up from the March budget revision, $382,623. So you've got your total local revenue of $14,212,398. The majority of that was, I raised the interest budget again, about $353,000. Interest just keeps coming in higher and higher, which is great. So we'll take all the interest revenue we can get right now. And then I also moved, we had $40,000 that was a teen center grant that I had budgeted in state revenue, and I had to move that out of state and put it into local. It was a local revenue. We found out after we'd received it. So I have made that move. And other than that, it was just some minor revisions on the property tax revenue and some other cleaning up a few other revenues. If you turn to the next page, page 3.
Terry, how do you get tuitions from people or parents?
That's your preschool tuitions.
Okay.
And driver's ed. That's preschool and driver's ed is what that is. Okay, on page 3, this is your state revenues. From the budget that was approved in March, it went down $119,000. So we've got total state revenues, $46,187,529. The main, three of the main things I'll point out in this is our transportation, and I addressed this last month. They dropped our transportation revenue down by just under $173,000. So I took that into account on this. Our teen center, I told you we moved $40,000 from the state, so it dropped down and we moved it to the local. And then also we received $125,000 more in a school safety grant. And then other just minor revisions to match the state final projections. And that's what makes up that $46,187,529. You turn to the next page, page 4. This is the federal revenues for the general fund. It changed from the March by dropped $946. So it's just very minor changes on bringing the federal revenues into alignment with what their final numbers were. So our total general fund revenues, $67,706,985. In total, from the March budget revision, that's up just under $263,000 is the change on that from the March budget.
Why did we the year before get both of those ESSER 2 and ESSER 3 funds, and we only got, in the final budget, it did not come in on the ESSER 2. I think that's what Kate was trying to negotiate up in legislature. Is that correct?
The ESSER is the COVID money. Oh. ESSER is the COVID money. And so we had that in FY23. We did not spend all of the ESSER 3. And so we've got $568,771 budgeted in FY24, and that will finish spending that out, and then that money's gone.
Okay.
That's why there's nothing budgeted in 25. That's the final tail end of all the COVID money that we got.
Okay.
Okay, if you'll turn over to page 5, this is the expenditures for the general fund. So the first section is the instructional. You can see the total expenditures in instruction, $40,543,545. This is just cleanup and minor revision in the salary and benefits and leave and vacation payout for retirees and other objects. That changed about $57,000 is what it grew. Very minimal for budget revision. The next function, total students, 2,100. It total expenditures of $2,556,817. That literally dropped $888 from the March. So you can tell there's very minor revisions there. Support services, instructional staff, $1,338,634. Again, just minor refinement of expenses. It grew $6,251. If you turn over to page 6, you have support services district administration, $1,154,750. Again, just refinement of the leave and vacation payout and other expenses. It grew $10,630 is all the change that happened with that. School, total school administration, $3,529,043. That grew $11,700 is all. Again, just refinement of expenditures, nothing major. Support services central, $3,155,015. This one actually decreased by $51,887. Part of that decrease is, if you remember last board meeting, we talked about our transportation funds going down because we were too efficient. And so we were reallocating some of our expenses over, some of our salaries over to transportation. So those in the central column is where some of the salaries and expenses were taken out, and you'll see the transportation, we moved them to the transportation to help increase those costs in transportation and make them more accurate as to what our transportation costs are. So that's part of the reason why that dropped on the expenditure side. If you turn to page 7, you've got support services, operation and maintenance, $9,967,043. That grew by $34,116. Again, just combination of minor refinements with expenditures there. The next section, support services, student transportation, $3,011,828. And I'm going to confuse you because that actually is down $253,029 from the March. And I just told you we were moving money from the central over to this. We did move salaries, but we also decreased the budget on buses and vehicles. So the combination of salaries going up, but we have budgeted for 6 vehicles. I don't know if we bought vans, excursions, I'm not sure.
Suburbans.
We had 6 budgeted and we only purchased 3, so I had to decrease that budget. So that brought that down, and then we also had more budgeted in buses than we expended, so I brought buses down. So in net, it took a decrease in the expenditures, but we did move some salary expenditures over to that. It's just with the salary expenditures going up of about $120,000, and we also increased the budget for fuel, for gasoline, diesel, but then we decreased by about $400,000 for the buses and vehicles, so it netted to a decrease in that expenditure. If you turn to page 9, this is the summary for the general fund. So you can see the total revenues, $67,706,985. Total expenditures, $65,256,675. You've got other financing sources of $279,118, which is a transfer out to school food service. So our net change in fund balance is an increase of $2,171,192. You add that to our actual ending fund balance from the previous year, June 30th of 23, and it leaves us with a total budgeted ending fund balance of $47,058,132. Now, if you look down below, all those amounts equal that $47,058,132, and that's how it's broke out. If you look at the top line, the committed undistributed reserve, you can see last year in FY23 we had $4.5 million in there. We've dropped that to $3.2 million. By law, you can only do 5% of your budgeted expenditures or the following year's budgeted expenditures. And so because we don't budget before in the years past, I've talked to you about this, that we'd bring it to a zero and we'd budget all this extra into equipment to bring it to zero. We didn't do that this year, so that brings our budget down, so now it drops our 5% that we can put into that. So now the most we could put in is the $3.2 million, and so that had to drop down, that undistributed reserve. And then the other one, the very bottom line, so that leaves our unassigned budgeted fund balance of $20,762,415. And it's actually the next year, it's the original budget that we bring to zero. And so we would look at the next year's budget, do 5% of it, and that's why we had to drop it down. It's when I go into our original budget, you'll see it not come to zero. Not this year. So, any questions on the general fund? Okay, if you'll turn over to page 10, the next page, this is a student activity fund. The schools do update and do their final budget revision, so you'll see that this has been updated. You've got, if you look at the bottom, or let's see, the top section, they've got total local revenue of $2,370,330, $3,000 in state revenue, leaving their total revenue of $2,373,330. The total expenditures, schools have to budget in any deferred revenue, any from the previous year on this final budget, so their expenses have gone up to include that $1.7 million, which I'll show you on the next page. So their expenditures are $4,146,821. You turn over to page 11. You can see the summary. So you can see the $2.3 million in revenue, the $4.1 million in expenditures. You can see we're short in revenues by the $1,773,491, and that's what our ending fund balance was for June 30th of 23, because they've now budgeted that in, and so it leaves us with a zero ending fund balance budgeted for the final year, or for our final budget for June of 2024. Any question on the school activity? If you turn over to page 14, the pass-through didn't change at all, so I don't address that because it really doesn't affect anything. Turn to page 14, we have debt service. The property tax, I just revised that. It dropped $12,000 is all. The interest earnings, I increased that by $100,000. So in total, the net effect on the debt service revenue went up about $88,000 from the March budget revision. There was no change in the expenditures for debt service. So if you look down on the bottom section, you've got your revenues of 3.763, your expenditures of 3.093. Leaves you with 669,882 of budgeted revenues over expenditures that you add to your ending fund balance from the previous year of 1,307,016, and it leaves us a budgeted restricted fund balance for debt service of 1,976,898. Any questions on debt service? If you turn over to page 15, this is your capital projects fund. Again, property taxes was just a minor refinement. It decreased from the March budget by $7,600. I did increase the budget for earnings on investment, the interest, by $200,000. And then we did receive our payment from the county for the solar farm, and it came in at $152,561, and I had $180,000, I think, budgeted. So I decreased that budget by about $27,000. The state revenues, there was no change on that from the March budget. It remained at the $2,579,015. The federal revenues, it did increase by $347,559 from the March budget, and that's because we received the Forest Reserve check from the federal government, so I added that in. We get that every year, but I don't budget it until we get it because we never know what we're going to get, and it's always iffy. So our total revenues for capital project funds, $6,218,669. That increased in net by $512,489 from the March budget. If you turn to page 17, there's no expenditures on page 16. You can see the total expenditures for capital, $3,931,524. That was an increase of about $700,000 for the construction and remodeling costs. And if you turn over to page 18, we can see the summary on the capital projects fund. The total revenue is 6.218, total expenditures 3.931. We have $50,000 budgeted for fixed assets. Leaves us a net change in fund balance of an increase of $2,337,145. You add that to our ending actual fund balance from the previous year of $12,935,877, and it leaves us with an ending budgeted fund balance of $15,273,022. Of that, $4.3 million is restricted for the debt sinking fund for our CUSAB bonds. And $10,915,411 is budgeted for construction commitments. Any questions on the capital projects fund? Sorry, I'm kind of hurrying through, so if you have questions, there's not a lot of changes. So
I was looking about, you got fund balance ending of $15 million, but restricted commitments is about $11 million. And debt sinking fund QSB is $4 million, so basically that almost zeroed out. Is that right?
Yeah, the $10,915,411 plus the $43,577,611 equals the $15,273,022.
That's what makes up the $15 million.
That's what makes up that $15 million.
So how do we go? Is that all the money we've got for construction?
In our capital fund. Yeah,
that's so what's left over for this from FY24, what's budgeted that will carry forward to next year. You've got your revenues for next year coming in.
Okay.
But that's right, what's so not
that,
been
that's, yeah, that's the leftover money that we haven't budgeted, though, for the 10-year building plan, but what we're paying
what
for the like the projects that are going on right now are being paid for out of that fund balance.
And, all right. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, thank you.
Okay, if you turn over to page 19, we have school food service. The top section is the total revenue local sources. This decreased by about 9,300 on the local revenue, 505,700. The state revenue, I increased it by 225,000. Of that 225,000, there was a one-time $163,000 payment for a liquor disbursement, a liquor distribution from the state. And so that's where that came in. The majority of that increase is from that one-time liquor distribution. And then on the federal, between the lunch reimbursement and the free and reduced, that increased, I increased that in budget by about 218,000. About 100,000 of that was the round four, the last, I think that's the last round of the supply chain assistance that the federal government was giving school lunch because of the shortage in supply and how much stuff has gone up. They've done four rounds of giving money to the schools to assist in that. And we got an additional just under 100,000 for that. And I think that's done. I don't think that's coming in anymore. Fresh fruit and vegetables, I added 20,000 to that, or 90,000 to that, because we got a lot more money in that than I had budgeted. And so that leaves us with our total revenue for food service in $2,906,700, which is $463,700 higher than what I had budgeted in March, which is a great thing. On expenditures, the only change I really made there is I increased the food budget by $200,000. Food always comes in more expensive than, as you know, when you go to the grocery store. It's always more money than you plan. So you've got, if you turn over to page 20, you can see the summary on school food service. Total revenue, $2.9 million. Total expenditures, $3.3 million. You've got the $279,118 coming in that we're transferring from M&O to help cover the indirect costs that we have to charge them. And it leaves them short $114,448 that's going to come out of their ending fund balance that ended at $2,097,873. So it leaves an ending budgeted fund balance of $1,983,425. Of that, I'm estimating the inventory about $173,825 from the previous year. We'll have that inventory count on June 30th. We don't know what that is at this point. So that leaves about $1.8 million in per restricted fund balance that we have budgeted. And we don't need to worry about any of the other pages for the final budget revision. So any questions on the final budget revision for the 2023-24 year? Okay, now we're going to jump to the original budget for the 24-25 year. I presented the preliminary budget last month. The only thing that has changed on that is Chad set the tax rate. We got the actual assessed valuation from the county and the state, and he went in and set the actual tax rate. And so I adjusted the revenues according to what that new tax rate is. So I'm just going to go through and we'll hit the summary on that, and I'll tell you what I've adjusted it, which is not drastic, and then I'll turn the time over to Chad to address the tax rate for you. And I'm not going to go back through that whole budget because I presented it to you last month and I don't think I need to repeat that. But if you have questions, please jump in and ask. So if you turn, let's start out and just hit the summary on page
9.
Turn to page 9. And I'm looking at the far right column where it says original budget FY 2025. So you've got revenue by source, the total revenue, $59,603,920. That from the preliminary budget that I budgeted or that I presented last month went up $116,000. The expense went up by the same amount. So what I increased in revenue, I increased in expenditure. And that's from the property tax changes is where that came from. And realize part of that property tax, if the property tax went up, or down is equalized in some of the programs by state revenue, not all of them. So that leaves us with 1.971973 of revenue over expenditures. You've got 260,015 that we're transferring out to school food service. It leaves us a net change in fund balance of 1,711,958. I've updated the beginning fund balance from FY24 to match what our budgeted beginning fund balance is of the 47,058,132. And it leaves us with an ending budgeted fund balance of 48,770,090. And this is where we usually would bring the unassigned to zero, but we don't. If you look down below, you can see we have a budgeted unassigned fund balance of 22,874,373. And you can see our designated, our undistributed reserve, we had to drop to 2,800,000 to meet that 5% law on that. Any questions on that? Okay, I did not make any changes on the student activity. It's the same as the preliminary. There was no change there. So if you want to turn over to page 14, down at the bottom, this is the debt service. The total revenue, $3,087,635. That, with the change in property tax rates, dropped $406,727. The expenditure stayed the same. So what we're basically doing is taking $58,065. That's what we're short in revenue from expenditures. We're going to take that from our restricted fund balance from debt service and hopefully drop it a little bit instead of grow it. And so it leaves us with an ending fund balance budgeted of $1,918,833. If we're lucky, we will drop it a little, and it won't grow, but because we don't want to grow this one.
Why?
Legally, you can't. You can't have too much fund balance in your debt service fund. So the problem is the state tax commission, you set your rate based on your debt payments that have to go out. But then you overcollect because you get things like delinquent taxes coming in. You get fee and lieu payments from the county that come in. And what's the other one? Motor vehicle. Motor vehicle comes in that's above and beyond where you can set your rate. So over time, like, you're always going to overcollect in your debt fund. So there just comes points in time where you need to set your rate lower to not grow it. Problem is, we've been doing that for 3 or 4 years. I've been setting that rate, and every year we still end up exceeding that. So eventually, maybe we'll get it right. I don't know.
You can see from...
The thing is, you don't want to drop the rate too much, because then in a subsequent year, you would have to ratchet it back up if you need that money. And then your homeowners, your property taxes are kind of going like this, so it's... It's kind of a game where you want to be consistent, but you don't want to over-collect all the time either.
Okay, if you turn to page 18, the summary for capital projects fund. Total revenues, $3,956,637. This grew from the preliminary budget last month of $102,378. The expenditures stayed the same. So we're basically adding that $102,378. I've updated the new budgeted beginning fund balance, and it leaves us with a budgeted ending fund balance of $11,989,888. And we leave the debt service sinking fund at $4.3 million because we've got that expenditure loaded up above in the expense for right now. And so it leaves our construction commitment at $7,632,277. Any questions on capital? Okay, if you turn over to page 20, we have school food service. And there was no change on on that. The revenue stayed the same. The expenditure stayed the same. I just updated the ending fund balance, moving the final FY24 fund balance over, and it leaves us with an ending fund budgeted fund balance for next year of $1,634,224, which shows our restricted fund balance for school food without the inventory of $399,000. If you turn over to page 22, this is the tax rates. If you look at the column on the far right, this is where the tax rates have landed, and I'll let Chad address this.
Yeah, so can you all, are we all in the same column there? You see the FY25 tax rate column? I'll compare that to the if you move to the left, the FY24 tax rate column. So the very first line there, the basic program, that's set by the state. We just got that number this morning, actually. So Carrie updated all this morning for that rate. It's set at 1408. That's just the basic levy that again is set by the state that equalizes us for our student count. All these rates are just set basically at the certified tax rate, which means the state says this is a tax rate that you can set in order to collect the same amount of revenues as you did the prior year. So that's all we've done here is I have messed, like, between the board leeway and the capital, I made just a little bit of tweaks there so that we collect a little bit more money in capital and a little less in board, but we're still following the certified rate. So basically you can see, like, on the voted leeway, I guess the one thing to point out is you're going to notice that all of these rates trickle up a little bit from last year. Like, if you notice that the voted leeway rate at last year was 861, and this following year it'll be 884. That's because our assessed value actually decreased a little bit this year. I think there were some corrections that needed. I don't know the exact reasons why, all the reasons why. When they initially gave us our values, it was showing a 6% decrease in assessed value for the year. They actually had to update that a couple days later, and it was still down just a little bit. Basically, our assessed value kind of held flat, but it did drop a little bit. So keep in mind, as assessed values go down, your tax rate always does the opposite in order to collect the same amount of money. So the assessed value went down a little bit, so our tax rates have to ratchet up a little bit to collect that money. So that's why you've noticed each one of these increase a little bit. Board leeway goes from 1109 to 1141. Debt service, we just talked about that a little bit. Debt service is actually, we just set that amount at the amount to make our debt payment, except I've dropped it by, I think I dropped it by, it was around $70,000 just to help so that we don't over-collect. Capital project, that rate's going from 775 to 815, collecting us right around $2 million. And that's what we project. That's about the amount that we collect every year in capital. So our total tax rate, if you look down at the very bottom, is going from 5372 to 5298. So in total, the tax rate is trickling down just a little bit in total, and that's due to the debt rate. Even though individually each one of them went up a little bit, that debt rate decrease is kind of offsetting that. So really, as a homeowner, the only impact you're going to feel is your own assessed value change. Like, we're not doing anything to the tax rate that's going to really impact a homeowner this year. It's just going to come down to what your own individual assessed value did. And that's unique to everybody. So I don't really know, you know, how that will impact everybody. My guess is that your home values countywide like on your own individual home, probably stayed very flat. Maybe it actually even decreased a little bit, depending on if you got reassessed or not. Just based on how our overall value decreased. A lot of that might have had to do with some business reevaluation, so homes, maybe they just stayed flat. I couldn't get a lot of information this year. I don't know how public it is. Our county, we don't really have a county assessor right now, so I think there's an interim county assessor. Amy's not there anymore. I don't know what's behind that, but
she had a job offer with the state doing basically the same thing.
Oh.
So she just does it out of the house.
Okay. So I think that might have contributed a little bit to the us having an initial value and then having to go back in and tinker with the rates after they told us there was an error. I think the main thing to keep in mind is basically our values stayed flat and our tax rate just had to adjust just a little bit to account for that. Other than that, we're not making any changes to the tax rate. So no reason for a truth and taxation hearing, which I think everybody should be happy for.
Any questions?
Really happy.
No. Are there any questions for Carrie or for me if I need to dive more into the tax rate or any budget questions?
Thank you. No, just like to pay you the highest compliment. You've done good.
Thank you.
Job well done. We appreciate that very much. So at this point, I would entertain a motion to approve the final budget revision for fiscal year 2024, the tentative budget adoption, and tentative tax rate for fiscal year 2025.
I'd make that motion, Mr. President.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And we also entertain a motion to approve the employee negotiations as presented in our closed meeting. Make that motion.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Any other discussion that needs to come up in an open meeting?
One more motion, Mr. President, that we approve the employee payment adjustment.
That we talked about it
close.
That's
correct. I'd entertain a motion.
I'd make that motion.
Make that motion. Okay. It's been moved and seconded. We can make that amendment on the employee compensation that we discussed in our closed meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Any other discussion or items to bring up in this meeting?
Did we decide on next month?
We decided to cancel it and see you August 7th. I would entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I'd make that motion, Mr. President.
Second.
The move and seconded. We adjourn this meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Meeting is adjourned.